the Yes to Life show, bringing you another look into the world of integrative medicine for cancer. Each week, I'm talking to people who either work in the field as scientists, researchers, practitioners, or clinicians, or who have experience of using integrative medicine to meet the challenges of cancer, all of whom have useful insights to share on the theory and the practicalities of integrative medicine. This week, I have a very interesting guest, Peter Flander from Finland. Peter runs an organisation called the Petra Foundation with many of the same aims as our charity, Yes to Life, here in the UK. We were introduced by a mutual friend, Kelly Turner, author of Radical Remission. I immediately knew that this was someone I wanted to talk to, so I set up a Skype to talk to Peter at his home in Finland. Hello, Peter. Very nice to speak to you today. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Hello, Robin. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Great. So you set up and you're chairman of the Petra Foundation in Finland. We've got a lot of very similar aims to Yes to Life here in the UK. So I'm very excited to be in touch as we share so much common ground. You're obviously very passionate about the introduction of integrative medicine into cancer care. Why?
Well, it comes all from my daughter died in cancer in 2002. And we could follow her battle on close hand. And at the end of it, she became very interested in what can I do now when the doctors said that to go home and die. So I spent a lot of time on the internet to try to figure it out. But of course, there was not time enough to save her. Since then, I have been working on the internet and found a lot of interesting things. And when we had enough, say, credible information, we decided to make the foundation, Petra Foundation, which is called Petra Foundation for Integrative Care. And our mission is to support the patient in his fight against cancer and to give hope by showing new ways when the traditional medicine cannot help anymore. Our goal is primarily to help to live an improved quality of life and also possibly to live a longer life. So it's as simple as that.
Okay.
And we are on this path still, as you very well know. It's a never-ending story to try to find out the truth about this.
It is indeed. Yeah, okay, well, you're right. To improve quality of life and to hopefully extend it as well, very much what we're engaged with here. So you mentioned your daughter there. Could you tell us maybe the story of your daughter, how old she was, what happened to her, and what you went through as a parent to try and help her?
Well, the Petra Foundation, it was established in 2002, and Petra was battling against her cancer in 18 months, 8 operations, and she died at the age of 28. She had a small cell soft tissue carcinoma in her foot.
Oh, right. It sounds unusual.
And very unusual, extremely unusual, and no prognosis at all. Say 1% basically. Wow. And as it was so rare again, then it was very difficult to diagnose it.
What treatment did she receive?
Everything what you can give. Chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, those three. The cancer came back.
Oh, right. It recurred.
Two times. Mm. Yeah, two times.
Right. Yeah. So quite quickly, it sounds like, as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a case where Orthodox medicine had not very much hope in the first place and just basically tried everything they had, but to no avail. And how soon did you begin to think about looking outside the box, if you like, looking elsewhere?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was when Petra saw what I was doing. Yeah, well, I started that say in January. She was informed that they cannot do anything more, mm-hmm. and I was starting to look for alternatives in October,
right.
the previous year.
Oh, I see. Right.
And but when she saw what amount of material I had collected, then she said that we have to establish an information center.
Right.
Which we then did.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, that's an exact parallel with my own situation. While my daughter was still alive, it was very clear that we needed to do something because it was so hard to find good and relevant information. So,
Yes.
And so, yeah, we decided while she was still alive, and in fact, we have a recording on our website of her talking about it. So,
I listened to it.
Oh, you listened.
And our foundation is a non-profit charity organization which works as a web page, of which the address is www.petrafoundation.com. Mm-hmm. And we have it in three languages, indeed, in English, Swedish, and Finnish. Swedish, by the way, because Finnish is a two-language country. 5% of the population is Swedish-speaking. I belong to the 5%.
Oh, right.
And we don't give consultations to our visitors, but we leave them to decide what action they can take based on the pieces of information we have published on our webpage. Mm. The reason to that is that we simply are not qualified to give personal advice, but the patients have to decide themselves.
Right.
We are financed by private donations and from the yield of our investments in the stock market. It gives us a good, say, quite a sound financial basis, but not enough to sponsor research and these kind of things. Mm. But we can do a lot of other things. Mm. The real challenge, though, is to keep the content update. As you know, it's a very fast-moving target.
It is.
And we don't represent the traditional medicine, but the holistic and complementary integrative medicine. And we see to our task to inform about another way to heal from cancer, as the traditional way only has been failing. Mm. We don't resist traditional treatments, but we don't promote them either, except in the case a combination of the two could be a viable alternative, for instance, as within the terms of integrative medicine. But again, that we have tried many times, and no response whatsoever from the establishment.
Okay, well, we're going to come on to talk about that a bit later. So, I'm very sorry that the outcome was what it was in your case. It's a massive blow to a family, and I'm also pleased to see how you've managed to actually do what she suggested and go ahead and actually create something out of a very tragic situation of your own.
Well, it's a way to handle the tragedy.
Yeah, it does. It certainly it makes some sense of it in a certain kind of way, I would say.
Yes.
From my own point of view, you have this information. It's not much use to you now, but it's certainly a lot of use to other people.
Yes, right. Well, as it happens now, it's very, very much use to me myself as well.
Okay.
2 years after Petra died, then my wife got cancer.
Wow.
And which reoccurred. It was breast cancer, and she went through all the traditional treatments what she could have. Mm-hmm. And but today she's free from cancer.
Okay.
Then 2 years ago, in 2014, I realized that there is something wrong with me as well. Mm. And it proved to be colon cancer grade 2 and melanoma grade 4.
Both together?
Both together.
Wow.
Right.
That's quite a diagnosis.
And yes, well, it of course, the colon cancer was diagnosed first, and in connection to the operation, they took away a mole, which proved to be melanoma grade 4. Mm. And so they came after each other. So the after the first operation of the colon cancer, I was advised to take chemotherapy just for the sake of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I said no, that I cannot, that can I not do, because I have melanoma, and basically the only my only means to beat that one is to have an impeccable immune system.
Yes.
Immune system. And they looked funny at me, and then 2 days later they said that called me and said you are completely right.
Really? Well, that was good.
So that is very good.
Yeah.
But what I did immediately when I had my diagnosis was that I completely changed my diet to ketogenic diet.
Okay.
And since then I have been on as much ketogenic diet as I can be.
Just for the listeners to make sure they get the word right, in English we would say ketogenic usually. So
ketogenic.
Yeah,
ketogenic.
I want to make sure
diet.
Everybody understands what you're talking about, that's all.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes, you were just saying about your what you do currently.
Yes. Exactly that. The interesting thing is that, well, I started then on my own an alternative treatment based on cesium chloride, which I continued for 3 months. And in the fall 2016, yes, I went on a long walk in France, 200 kilometers.
Wow, that's a long and, walk.
No, well, it's in my terms, it's a small walk, because
okay.
Longest was 700 kilometers.
All right.
But I wanted to do it, and when I came back, I was in pretty bad shape because all electrolytes were mixed up, and I had very low kalium and high calcium, and that's not very good.
Right.
My doctor said you can die from it.
Okay.
So she said stop with all those alternative things and go back to good diet, which I did. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of summer, in end May, I was investigated and by PET scan, and they found that my cancer had metastasized in the lungs.
Oh.
With four small metastases in the lungs and one tumor on the chest, which I could feel.
Right. So this is the colon and, cancer that had metastasized.
No, it was the melanoma.
It was a melanoma, right.
Melanoma, yes. Not the colon.
Right.
The melanoma,
okay.
Which is much, much worse. And then at the end of the summer, 3 months later, because I'm every 3 months on analyze, so
yeah,
to say.
Tests,
what do you
yeah.
call it?
Tests.
Yes. Test. And then they said that, well, for some funny reasons, the three of your five metastases have disappeared.
That's nice.
and I of course I'm very happy for that. And I tried to explain why they disappeared, but they did not believe me. They said it fluctuates.
Right.
So we decided together that we don't take any treatments at this point, and we continue see what is happening, and if things goes wrong, then we take new decision, and that's where I am.
Okay, well, good. Sounds positive at the moment. So you've obviously taken matters very much into your own hands with your treatment. Just to nip back, your wife, when she was treated, did you also do other integrative approaches as well as the traditional treatment?
Well, we did what we knew about, say, correct diet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we did not have the correct information good enough to implement, say, a comprehensive program.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned with your own treatment, you mentioned cesium chloride. This is not something that many people will have heard of, probably. Do you want to say why you use cesium chloride and how you use it and what the effect is?
Well, cesium chloride is one of the most alkaline substances that exists. And in the periodic system, it is very close to... Now I'm going chemistry. I'm a chemist myself.
Okay, good. That's fine.
It is very similar to kalium, and kalium is that is potassium, isn't it?
Right.
And the cell needs potassium in order to transport stuff over the membranes into the cell. And when you treat yourself with cesium chloride, then the cell thinks it's kalium. Mm-hmm. So it lets it in, but it has no mechanism of letting it out. So cesium chloride is accumulating in the cell and eventually is making it extremely alkalic, mm-hmm. and the cell dies.
Right.
And this is a treatment or a protocol which you can find on Cancer Tutor, mm-hmm. very, very good description of. It's tricky because if you don't take into account that your potassium balance can be disturbed, then you can run into a situation what I run into.
Right, right.
And eventually you can it can end in death.
Right. So,
but in my case, it didn't.
So you would say it needs supervision.
Needs very careful supervision, yes.
Yeah.
And there you really need a doctor who follows your blood test and tells you what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite effective.
Mm. So from what you're saying, the action is selective in that it only acts on cancer cells and not on healthy cells.
Only on cancer cells.
Mm. Okay. So... also, can I ask, were you basically self-managing all of this, or were you getting advice other than your hospital team, obviously, but I'm talking about advice about your integrative treatment?
Well, I have, over the years, I have got in contact with a doctor in Sweden named Ralf Sundberg. Mm. He wrote a book named Forskningsfusket in Swedish. And it's the research cheating, cheating in research. And he's revealing very much how manipulated the research results are. Part of the results are hidden, others are published, all in accordance to the...
Right.
To the profit thinking.
Right. So you're talking about the trials that are conducted on new drugs.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are immense. Quite. I don't know whether this book is in English or not, but it's extremely interesting.
Well,
so I got in contact with him. He attended, was a lecturer in one of our seminars, conferences, and so we are in close contact.
Right.
Another contact is Carl Arfors, a professor in Sweden. He's a quite old man nowadays, but very knowledgeable. Mm. And he has a blog, and he's very interested in nutrition and health.
Mm.
That is his specialty.
Wow. So you had some good professional contacts, basically.
Yes, but basically, I must say, basically, what I have found, I have found myself. I have just checked, got my information verified.
Mm.
But basically, I work in the way that when I find something, then I check it from many different directions.
Right. Okay. So you're sure. Well, I think, you know, many people do that. People do become experts on their own condition, on treating their own condition. And, you know, more expert than anybody else could possibly be in the end. So it's a good position to be in if you have a challenging health condition.
Right. And it's it becomes extremely interesting because you are your own guinea pig.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Can we come back to the foundation again? So can you just tell me the specific gaps in care that you hoped to fill when you set up the foundation? So the things that were missing that you thought, these need to be there. What were they?
Well, first of all, the understanding what cancer is,
mm-hmm.
and to demystify cancer, that it is not a thing which normal people cannot understand. Mm-hmm. And then you had to take another look at it in another way, from the point of view, what are the properties of the cancer cells, what are its its weak points, specific points, properties, and how to attack those. Mm-hmm. And by that, you approach very fast the metabolic cancer theory. Yes. So we try to approach it that way. When you read our text, it is not exactly as I said, because at that time when that text was written, then say people didn't talk about metabolic cancer theory. Mm-hmm. It is my intention to change it totally. But when you look at the therapies, then there it is explained how they work, and right. Without any exception, they are attacking, say, the pH side of cancer, the Warburg effect. That means that when the cell loses a certain amount of ability to oxidize or to metabolize with oxygen, then it becomes a cancer cell.
The information you were talking about was on your website, that you're saying you wish to update that now to reflect the increased understanding of the metabolic theory.
I'm going to change it totally to be exclusively that, because that is in my opinion the truth.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it, that the metabolic theory, well, of course it's been around a long time, but it's not been popular, but it is there sitting behind the mechanism of so many things that are done that are unorthodox treatments, if you like. That's why they have some effect.
Right, and it's so when understanding cancer that way, then it becomes quite an easy thing to understand and to take action against.
Mm. Okay, so what are the particular challenges you've got in Finland to bringing these things forward, all these things that you want to highlight? What are the difficulties you encounter in changing thinking?
Well, whatever you can think about. First of all, the trust in the doctors, in the medical doctors here, is immense. Mm-hmm. They trust only certified doctors and nobody else. And usually, so the MP, just before dying, they contact us and ask us what to do. And of course, we cannot give advices. Mm-hmm. And for instance, insulin potentiated chemotherapy would be a quite, say, a logic approach to an integrative treatment. And we have in our board a professor in oncology who is a surgeon and a general practitioner, two medical doctors. And when they have tried to talk to their colleagues about this, they get just a cold hand. Mm. Nobody want to listen how to decrease the dose of chemotherapy agent by using insulin. So I would say that they have not woke up yet.
Right.
There is no cooperation between us and the establishment, except me and my oncologist.
Mm.
We have a good relation, and I'm telling her everything I'm doing, right. And she is listening, but not answering.
right. Well, that situation sounds very similar to here. The only thing I'd say that is different is that over here, two things are beginning to change. One is, we have the same thing about trust in doctors. It's beginning to crack that. It's not quite as solid as it used to be, you know. People are more prepared to ask questions. They're more prepared to get out and check what they're being told by their doctor on the internet, which is a very wholesome thing, because it's beginning to crack the kind of status quo, if you like. And the other thing that's not quite as sturdy as it used to be, we used to blithely say in this country, people would say, we have the best health service in the world, you know, and all sort of congratulate each other. But of course, it never was the best. Well, it might have been at one time, but anyway, it certainly isn't now. We're right at the bottom of the league tables in Europe with cancer, and it's beginning to be publicly spoken about that our service really isn't that good in some areas. I mean, it's excellent in some areas, to give it its credit. It's very good on, acute medicine. It's great, but chronic disease, we're very bad indeed. And so those two things, yes, the public is getting wise to at last, I'm glad to say. And of course, we're doing our bit to help the public to ask questions and to not take things on face value and to find out for themselves. So I'm very pleased to see those changes, because at the end of the day, I think change is not really going to come so much from, it's not going to come from within medicine, certainly. Some change is coming from government, a bit, I'm glad to say. They are doing a bit, but it's not noted for driving change, really. And it's certainly not going to come from industry, which its main interest, as you pointed out, is making money. So it's all down to us, the public, to drive change, really.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing exactly the same thing here. We are arranging, as you do, seminars and congresses. On, say, let food be your medicine.
Yes.
The first was concerning diabetes 2 and cancer. They have the same runways.
Yes.
So to say.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
And then we had a big conference here a couple of months ago, where Kelly Turner, the author of Radical Remission, book. And now we are, as I told you, planning a third conference on a ship between Helsinki and Stockholm to retour.
Right. Well, at the end of the show, we'll get all the details of that out.
But our target group is the public, because we cannot change the establishment. The change has to come from underneath. And really, not what we are seeing now is that the food recommendations are changing towards more tolerance regarding fat and less tolerance regarding carbohydrates.
Right. Well, that's good, eh?
Yeah, that's very good. Things happen.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I think you're right. It's being driven by the public. So...
And one very human reason is that one of the key persons in this establishment got cancer himself.
In which establishment?
No, I cannot tell it publicly.
Okay, sure, okay.
But an important person in the establishment, and he started to think.
Right.
Things are going in correct direction, but it is slow.
But, you know, my thinking goes something like this, that it's going to be slow for a long time, and it has been. But the fact is it's kept going in the right direction all the time. But eventually you build a weight of public opinion and public knowledge that drives change very fast. It has to happen in the end. It's like breaking a dam. So I hope that I see that day when the dam breaks. But it may even be after I'm gone. I don't know, but... it would be great. That's how I feel it's going to happen. Eventually, simply the resistance to reality won't keep up anymore, and it'll just break.
Yes, I think within 5 years we will see quite a different world than we see today.
I hope so.
And we need to have the metabolic cancer theory verified, which is not very difficult.
Okay. All right, I want to talk a bit now about the kind of legal environment. In the UK, we've got a completely archaic Cancer Act, which was initially set up to protect the government's investment in radiotherapy. And this act, it's kind of stifled progress towards integrative medicine in the UK. And so we've now got a completely backward situation here, and we're right at the bottom of the league tables, as I said. And that's despite having an enormous budget for cancer, and we've got this wonderful public healthcare system. How do things compare in Finland? Are you dealing with similar legalities?
No. I don't know, is it more strict or less strict? But nobody who is not qualified can make statements regarding therapies. Specific statements regarding therapies to patients. I think, well, if you accept payments for those advices, then you are on the wrong side on the law.
Right.
But specifically, and that concerns every disease.
Right.
And I'm not aware about any specific legislation regarding cancer in this respect.
Okay, well, that's yes, there is a more general legality about it, and that's right. Then there's, in this country, it's very specific to cancer, and it gets used as a kind of blunt instrument to basically give any kind of practitioner a hard time, a nutritionist, whoever it is, if they mention that they're helping people with cancer. Unless they're very careful about it, they will get grief via, you know, being reported to trading standards and all this kind of thing. And in the worst cases, they will get prosecuted as well. But they'll often be asked to, or told, to change the content of their websites and things like this. And that's despite them being highly qualified nutritionists who are actually just supporting people with cancer. So it's quite tough, but it's something we're increasingly learning to work with.
Yeah, well, that is true. And if I'm not completely wrong, then we have been avoiding telling that this and this cures cancer. The wording is it has been told to cure cancer, and but not we don't state it cures cancer.
Right. Well, that's people have to do similar things in this country. If there's any, you are allowed to discuss things, but there's any kind of a feeling that you might be giving any actual advice to people as to what to do about having cancer, then you're in dangerous territory.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So in the UK here, as you were saying, in Finland, you don't really have integrative oncology as such. We don't have it here. There's no one place you can go to get orthodox treatment alongside supportive treatments such as hypothermia or intravenous vitamins or immune stimulating therapies. There's simply not a single place you can go to for these, as there are in some other countries. So, you know, if you want that kind of thing and you live in the UK, well, you get yourself a plane ticket and go to Germany or Mexico or some other country that has these things. What's really the situation in Finland?
Well, I think in that sense, our cancer treatment authorities are more open-minded because, say, the immune stimulant drugs are being more and more used, especially regarding melanoma. Mm-hmm. And maybe you know a drug named Keytruda, and that is specifically an immune system drug for specifically melanoma. Mm. And they are trying their way forward they are very enthusiastic about it, but the side effects are quite heavy many times. Mm. So.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you have to say that the concept of boosting the immune system, where did they get that from? Well, they got it from alternative medicine, basically. That's an alternative medicine target, if you like, to do that. Of course, they've been trying to do it with drugs because that's where you make the money. Unfortunately, all drugs, as we know, have side effects. There's no such thing as a drug really without a side effect because they're all substances that are foreign to the human body. So there's always unintended consequences of taking a drug. The only thing you can say about it, I mean, obviously it doesn't make sense to anybody who understands integrative medicine where there are well known that, you know, types of mushroom that are used regularly in hospitals in the Far East are exceptionally good immune boosters and have no side effects whatsoever. So using a drug doesn't make any sense. But at least if the thinking of boosting the immune system gets into orthodox medicine, then, as you found out when you said that's what you needed to do, is to have a good immune system, at least you're not looked at like an idiot. You're talking sense.
Right. Yes.
So it is a good move in a way.
Well, that was a mutual feeling. I was very astonished that the doctor could not think about that side of the thing, that I lose my immune system if I take chemotherapy. And that's a death sentence in my case.
Absolutely right.
Really. You're obviously thinking about the Japanese mushroom.
Yes. Yeah, all the different mushrooms are
really. No, I don't think they have been tested here. I think they are concentrating on high profitable drugs. Mm. And they are immensely expensive.
Well, of course, yeah. But this does open the door. So if you can at least have a sensible talk with an oncologist where the aim is to boost your immune system, if you tell them, look, I'm not very interested in your drug because I know what the side effects are, but I'm going to do this with using this natural substance here, please monitor what happens. And they see yeah. that you actually achieve the same thing with no side effects, then you're causing a stir.
Yeah. Well, my plan is definitely that if this my strategy is failing, then I have to do something else. And that is Keytruda is the first choice if I don't find anything better before that.
Right. Well, that
but
makes sense.
I think the Japanese mushroom should be tried before.
Absolutely. Well, that's right. You use the things that are less toxic first. You only resort to those kind of things if you have to. Chemotherapy is there if you have to use it, you know, and that's good. Of course, it's great that it's there. But if there are things that will do the same job without poisoning you, well, that's has to be the first sensible choice.
Well, regarding metastasis, melanoma, the choice is very easy because there is no choice.
Right.
No chemotherapy gives you more than, say, 5-6% probability to live 5 years or something like that. And in those, I'm not interested because what is the price for taking that direction? It's a very low quality life price.
Right.
So rather I live fully out the time I have and then die fast or than poisoning and destroying myself and suffering the rest of my life.
Mm. Well, that's an intelligent approach. Okay, so if we could come back to your foundation again, the Petra Foundation. Money is always well up the agenda of any charitable initiative, and I've got no doubt you'd like to hear from anyone who's listening who'd like to support you. But how do you go about getting support for the foundation? I think you mentioned something a bit different. You mentioned investments, which is part of the portfolio of fundraising that some charities have, I'm sure. But you obviously rely on that
well,
quite
we get
heavily.
Yes. Now we go to the specific properties of our community. I told you that we have a Swedish-speaking population.
Yes.
Covering about 5% of the population, and it's everybody knows everybody.
Okay.
So a lot of funds we have got from when people are having that 70 or 50th birthday and so on. Mm-hmm. And so they ask people to invest in or to donate to our foundation. And that has collected quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But then that money we invest right away into the stock market. And I'm proud to say I've been managing that and it's has been very profitable. Mm. And we are basically living from the dividends.
Mm. Great. Well, that's good to hear. And that's enabling you to achieve the things day to day that you want to achieve as a foundation.
So far, yes. Yeah. And we cannot finance any research. But we can arrange these conferences and so on because the risks are not that high.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about your team. How many people are actually involved in the foundation and what brings them there? And are they just volunteers or do you have paid staff?
No, we have no paid staff. Mm-hmm. And the team is our board. Where I have two representatives from the alternative world, two representatives from the traditional world, medical doctors, which I mentioned, mm-hmm. and then family members, one from our family, one from the family where Petra was to be married in. And that's it.
Right.
So I'm the chairman.
Yes.
And basically, I do all the work.
Well done, you.
And the others say they say yes or no, but
okay.
Usually they say yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of work to run an organization on your own. You have to be admired for that. Are you looking for anybody to join you to help you?
Oh, well, of course, my board members are helping me now and then, and but basically I'm doing it myself. We have not funds to pay any salary.
No, but if there's somebody listening who wanted to volunteer to help you, you'd be interested in that?
Yes.
Mm.
Well, I think that would be very reasonable to think about it, because I'm 74 years old, and I am having a dangerous cancer. So
yes,
I'm not going to live 100 years more.
No.
So okay. I have to look for that.
So would you like to just tell us about anything you're most pleased or proud of that you've actually done over the years? You've been going for what, 14 years, is it now?
14 years, yes.
Yeah.
Since 2002.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that we about 7,000 visitors a year, which is in your terms not very much, but in our terms extremely much. And we are very well known in both Finland and Sweden, which is quite interesting, because altogether we are for 12 million people.
Hmm. When you're talking about 7,000 being a lot for you, you mean because the population's very much less?
Yes, 17,000.
Sorry, 17,000. Yes, you have it's a small population compared to the UK.
Yes, very small. And then we have visitors all around the world, English-speaking world, because we have English also as one language. Well, that is of course nice, and people are they know about us, they talk about us, and they have opinions about us, which I think is very good. Mm-hmm. Most of the opinions are positive, because we are coming with something new. And when they check it, they find that others are saying the same thing as we are saying. Mm. So many times they are referring to our foundation when they do something or talk about, say, the diets, anti-cancer diets. So I'm very happy about that. Very happy.
Sure. Okay. And what about your plans now? What do you have in the pipeline for us? You mentioned a conference coming up. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell about it, yes. My wife and I, we went on a cruise for pensioners, mm-hmm. retired people. And when I looked around, then I noticed that here, all these are our clients, potential clients.
Well,
so
spotted.
I saw immediately the possibility to arrange this kind of event on a ship. Mm. And between Finland and Sweden, we have many big ships, ferries, going back and forth every day. Mm-hmm. They can, as a conference, they can take up to 450 people on a conference. Mm. Where you can have one part of the ship for yourself. Right. So I approached the sales manager of one of the shipping lines. Mm-hmm. And start to talk about it. And from there, we took it further until I had an offer from him, and it looks very good. So next year, in January 29-31, a ship named Mariella is starting from Helsinki, going to Stockholm, staying there over a day, coming back to Helsinki. And the plan is to make early check-in, and start the lectures, say, a couple of hours before dinner. And after the dinner, it's just socializing. And next day, some of the attendees, they go to Stockholm for shopping and whatever they do. And the others who are more serious stay on board for workshops and lectures again until dinner. And then there is a lot of say, other program. Mm. We will also have suppliers of different kind of services, like yoga, meditation, stress management, and so workshops during the day in Stockholm. Mm. So that's basically the setup. Mm. And the price of this kind of cruise is the same as you pay for a cruise for retired people.
Right.
Everything included, of course.
Right. Well, very original idea. Sounds great. And when you told me about it, I immediately thought, well, I'd like to come along and see what it's like. So what's the title of the conference? What's the subject matter?
Well, I could say it now, because I have seen your title. It's fantastic: Lifestyle Choices and Cancer.
Mm. Right.
Something like that. I'm not going to copy you, but the context will be the same.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things we put under that heading. It's a good heading. Okay, well, that's fantastic. I'm very pleased to hear about that. And as I say, I hope I will be able to join you on that.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome.
Great. So last question, just about the legacy that you hope to leave to Finland through your foundation, what your work will have achieved.
Well, first of all, I would like to see a Finland who does not think about cancer as a completely ununderstandable matter. Mm. I want to have it demystified. And in that context, of course, see the acceptance of cancer as a metabolic and epigenetic disease, mm-hmm. with all the implications following that. Because that leads to therapies which are less toxic and more effective, and before everything, following the science and not the dogmas.
Mm. That's a great
that's what
legacy.
I would like to leave behind me.
Yeah, I think yeah. I can say the same thing, I think. Okay, well, that's fantastic. People who are interested in your conference and booking, I assume they just go to the website to do that?
Oh, yes, I will put it on the front page, but the language is Swedish and English, and we will have... If you have a lot of people from England coming, then we have to have, interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't plan to do that.
Okay, all right. So anyway, we'll make sure that the full details of your website and other things we've spoken about today are available on the Eslite website for listeners.
Yeah.
All right, so... Very many thanks, Peter, for talking to us today. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm looking forward to meeting you, because to find somebody else who's got such a similar story is quite a joy, and it'll be a pleasure.
Thank you, the same. Yes, sure. No, we have to find a day.
Great. Thank you, Peter.
As I said when we were talking, the links related to the Petra Foundation are on the Yes to Life website at yestolife.org.uk, under Media Centre in the left-hand side bar, and then UK Health Radio. Peter is aiming to have some world-class speakers at his conference next year, so if you think you might like to go to a very unusual sort of conference, do let him know, and he may just be persuaded to get that interpretation laid on for us. And now a little ad for the charity Yes to Life. Some of you will know that our central service is a helpline. This is manned, or should I say personed, by a team of fantastic volunteers who've been through our specialised training and who give a certain amount of time each week to offering support to people with cancer looking to use integrative medicine to help themselves. They work from home and in their own time, and they consider it to be one of the most rewarding things that they do. If you have experience of cancer, either personally or through a close friend or relative, and think you might like to join the team, then please go to the contact page on the Yes to Life website and let us know. Some Yes to Life dates for your diary. March the 11th in Brighton, there's an Outsmart Cancer Cookery Workshop with Inspired Nutrition. On the 22nd of March in London, there's Nourishing Movement with Liz Butler and Lizzie Davis. And on April the 1st, near Oxford, there's Mindfulness for Living Well with Claire McCluskey. Next week, my guest is someone many of you will know of, Chris Walk of Chris Beat Cancer. I shall be talking to him about his new Square One program for people with cancer. So be sure to join me again. Goodbye.